Noise personified is a trickster. We cannot fix noise to a single meaning, nor can we completely rein it in. By definition, noise is what breaks through and becomes obvious, sometimes painfully obvious. I come to noise by way of a children's book by Margaret Wise Brown. Not her classic Goodnight Moon, which ends with goodnight noises everywhere, and not her almost shh-bang, a whispering book, written, she said, to get even with all prim librarians. Rather, the quiet, noisy book. 4 years old, I took that book to bed and to heart, listening intently as my parents read and reread it night after night. It was a story about what breaks through. As usual in her series of 7 noisy books, a little dog much like her own becomes aware of a sound he cannot quite make sense of. In the case of the quiet, noisy book, it was a very quiet noise. What was it? Was it a bee wondering? No. Was it butter melting? No. Muffin, the little dog who heard everything, had been asleep all night. What had awakened him? Was it a skyscraper scraping the sky? No. Then what was it? It was a very quiet noise, such a quiet noise, quiet as someone whispering a secret to a baby. What was it? Muffin knew what it was. It was, turn the page, the sun coming up. It was the milkman whispering to his horse, and the flies opening their million-cornered eyes, and it was, of course it was, and each night falling asleep, I knew on waking that it would be the new day. Such wonderful reassurance. Each evening, silence and loss. Each dawn, a noise and creation. First the noise, then the light. When a tree falls in the forest and no one hears, does it make a sound? Yes. Far away, someone catches wind of something unidentifiable, a very quiet noise, or feels a tremor underfoot, like an elephant tiptoeing down the stairs, and the fall of the tree resounds. Am I alluding to the devastation of tropical rainforests and other outrage thousands of kilometers away? Am I thinking of the long-term effects of the tremendous crack of an ice shelf as it heaves away from Antarctica? Or am I working toward a parable for the doing of history, which is about listening over one's shoulder, and for the making of a history of noise, which is all about the attenuation of sound over time? Listening to books read aloud by my parents and to the deep, booming voice of the great Gildersleeve on the radio, I have had since childhood a readiness to credit the slightest sound and least noise with powers of imminent domain, of making things likely, taking things over. This readiness, personal and mayhap generational, shapes a history of noise begun upon the premise that noise may be unwanted or unintelligible, but never insignificant. This same readiness leaves me open to the metaphorical bearings of noise as something other than acoustic. Each round in this book bears reference to the annual chanted perambulation of a community's border stones, the cultural geography of noise, to the daily tour of patients in hospital, the psychophysiology of noise, to the circling of the seasons, festivals, and analog hours, the historical temporalities of noise, and to the caccia, or rounds in which musical voices, ostensibly discordant, chase each other toward a final, breathless unison.